Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the greatest podcast on the internet. Fight us, John. John Love It. If you really bout that, I'm kidding. I love you. Please have me on Love It or Leave It. The greatest podcast in all of podcasts. The All Dick is Trash podcast. I'm in the studio. Millie Tamara is your hostess with the mostest. I'm in the studio with Young Chola Mommy, a.k.a. Candy Haro.
Cumbia sonidera.
Yes, whatever that was.
I don't really know either.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. So today we have a great guest, but before we get to that, we got our trash dick confessions and our trash dick of the week. I'm going to start with trash dick of the week. So, Candy, I was saying the story and then I was like, you know what? This is good enough for trash dick of the week. So there is this guy. So when I was in London, I went to this place that used to be like during the day, it's a bowling alley, like game center thing, like a Boomers. And at night they turn into a club and there's like karaoke rooms and shit. So, you know, we're like hanging out. I'm with some people and I start talking to this guy and he's just like standing like very close to me and being very, very flirty and like just asking me all these questions and stuff. And then when I look, I see that he has a wedding ring. And he's fucking married and I'm just like, what? Cause he asked me for my Instagram and he's like, oh, cause I told him, you know, he's like, what are you in London for? And I'm like, well, I'm doing some shows. And then he's like, oh my God. So he has a wedding ring and he's like all this stuff. And I was like, oh no. And he's not even that cute. You know what I mean?
He's not that cute for you to break up a marriage.
For me to break up a marriage. There are some guys where I'm like, listen.
Look, Idris Elba. You got him married to begin with. That's on you, not on me.
So then later I start talking to his cousin. And yeah, he's like, I'm his cousin. Because they look like a little, you know, a little something. So I'm like, are you guys full white or something? And he's like, actually, I'm half Scottish, half Egyptian. And my cousin is full Egyptian. But I live in Australia now. That's what, so I was like, oh my God, I can't even wrap my head around everything you just said. She's explaining everything to me. And then his cousin,
immigration.
I know, immigration, what? Glasgow. And then he has this thick Scottish accent too, but he looked like Hispanic or Jewish or something, but you know, that's how we know. So we're talking and then he's just like really being flirty, like really hitting it hard and like laying it on thick. Saying all kinds of shit to me, saying he's gonna come to my show, saying all this stuff. And then, like I said, like when I travel, I like to, you know, like I like to hook up with people when I go abroad as a little souvenir for myself, you know, and not, you know, it doesn't always have to be sex, but anyway, so yeah, but I was just like, this guy, so if his cousin is out here married, you know, I wonder if this guy, like, what's his deal? So, and I'm fucking fucked up at this point. And then we're, like, talking. And then he's dancing. And I'm like, okay, I think I want to make out with this guy. But his dancing was so bad, it was hard for me to look at. But anyway.
That's when you grind.
I couldn't even do that. So then I just have to, like, turn away when he's dancing or, like, laugh. Then, like, we're standing. I know. So then we're standing and, like, he kind of has his arm around me and we're, like, getting really close. And I'm like, oh, so, like, are you here with your cousin? And he's like, what? Like, yeah. I'm like, are you here alone? And he's like, yeah, I'm here with my cousin, actually. I'm like, no, I mean, are you here alone? Like, no girlfriend? And then he's like, oh, yeah, I have a girlfriend in Australia, but we're ethically non-monogamous. And I'm like, okay. Ah. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then he's like, yeah, you know, like it really opens us up. Like, you know, she's actually dating a lot of women now. Like when I'm here in London, she's not going on dates with women. And I'm like, okay, cool. So like, it's cool if we kiss. And he's like, yes. So we start making out. And then when we stop kissing, then he continues to tell me about his open relationship. And I'm like, I don't care. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it's just something different for us. And like, we want to really explore. And I'm not even going to tie it up, you know, and like me and my primary. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't care. I just like wanted. And I literally said, like, I just wanted to kiss you and not feel bad. And he's like, what? No, look at me. Look at me. And he grabs my face.
Oh,
and he's like,
not a face
look
grabber.
At me.
Oh,
look
no,
at
no,
me.
No, no,
we
no.
have a connection. Like, no, don't ever no. feel bad for our connection.
No, 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 no,
and I was
no.
like, ah!
Oh, no.
Making out with somebody in London, but at what cost? Like, so, oh, no. So then I, he adds me on Instagram too. I don't follow him back. Should I follow him back? No right?
No.
Yeah. Whatever. We kiss. Like, whatever. He was, like, nice. And then we, like, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
You,
we
you
leave.
Built a connection and everything.
Fuck off.
Uh-huh.
But then later I go on Instagram and I see his cousin. And his cousin's wife is so cute. Like, so cute. And she looks so nice. And I'm like, he is out here creeping. And I know she's not an open relationship. Mm-hmm. I was like, ugh, trash. Trash dick of the week goes to that pair of cousins. That entire throw the whole family away. Fuck them. That's
start
trash dick
over
of the
again.
Week. Start over again. That is trash dick of the week.
I don't know. Yeah.
Is that trash? Am I being trash?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah. I'm not saying, okay, the guy that I made out with is not trash. Like,
no,
whatever.
No, no.
He's in an
just
open relationship.
Tried to cheat on his wife.
I really. Yeah, just that's the guy fair. That tried to cheat on his wife. The other guy, he's not trash.
The other guy missed his
but
girlfriend.
It's just corny.
The other guy missed his primary.
Yeah, I know. Also, his primary is probably gay. And, like, she's dating women and having the time of her life, and you're making out with a fucking drunk bitch at a bowling alley.
She's your cousin
winning.
Before you.
Yeah, who curved your cousin. So,
You're right.
Yeah,
trash.
I don't think, you know. Being in a non-monogamous relationship.
I'm sorry, ethically.
Ethically
non-monogamous.
So I went up to our friend and I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, he, like, we can't, but like, he's ethically non-monogamous. She's like, ethnically non-monogamous? Does that mean he cheat on you if you're not white or something? Like, I get her little, like, she's like, what's
that?
That
was perfect. That's a perfect accent.
Fuck you. Yeah, fuck you. Okay, now we're going to get into our trash dick confessions.
Woo!
So, And Sarah, you can weigh in on this too.
Our lovely guest that'll be reintroduced in a little bit.
Okay, trash dick. One time I dated a guy who introduced himself as Cody. Then on the date, found out his name was John. Because somebody was like, hey, John, I didn't know you left NYC.
What?
I slept at his house, and in the morning, I got out of bed and stepped on what I found out. He stepped on something, and it shattered and pierced his skin and was glass. It was a glass crack pipe.
Oh.
And then the person said, have a great day.
What?
So, thoughts? I'll say this.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This person has a very bad problem.
Yeah, no. So, the thing is...
Someone's laughing at him.
Is that I know. The thing is, I went on a date... I went on a date with this guy.
We should have done the poop one, Millie.
No, I know. We want to do the poop... You want to do the poop one instead? Poop one.
This is triggering.
Because I was going to say... I don't know if, like, saying the wrong name is trash, because I went on a date with this guy, and he was like, yeah, my Turkish name is this, but my...
I mean, he could have just been like, honestly, that sounds more like he was didn't give her his real name. And then he was like low-key smoking crack. And like,
yeah, the smoking crack is not cool.
He was still in New York.
Okay, so do you want to do
the
poop?
Let's do the poop.
One?
We'll move on.
Okay.
It's getting and this is
by,
man.
Yeah, this is by a guy. And I'm not going to say his name for his protection.
You don't got to say genders at all. You didn't say the gender.
Well, before. I feel like it's more in context with the.
Everyone needs to ask my dude.
Okay. Well, I want to say eating. I'm going to say it's a dude. I accidentally shat on a guy's face the day before dumping him. This was mere days after Valentine's Day. I know. He was eating me out and he came up for air and he looked like he had a beauty spot like Frida Kahlo, but it was fecal. I told him he had an eyelash and wiped it off. It smeared, so I told him he had a lot of eyelashes and wiped the rest off, then wiped my fingers on the bottom of his bed. He never suspected a thing.
Oh my God.
I wrote back, I am speechless, because honestly, if I'm speechless, it's a fucking problem. And then he says, I needed to come clean.
Oh God.
So how do we feel? Who's trash? Who's not? What do we do? What thoughts?
Prayers.
Accidents happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna be hanging around down there, then you gotta know that, like.
But like, you can take a little more precautions. Like, did he just eat a Hot Pocket? Like, oh what God. Happened that it just came out so quick? Yeah. Like, that shit was loose, baby. It was good. Like,
oh my God, stop.
Well, I've heard story. Were they like? Do we have more information? Were they playing around in the anus or? Like,
he said they're eating him. He got ate out.
So like he got ate out.
Yeah, that's when he.
Oh,
that.
This
that's
is a man being ate out
by a man.
Yeah, by another man. Oh, see, the mechanics there are different.
So I think it's like
a lot of eyelashes.
I like the art. I like the beauty in it, and just like
Frida Kahlo. Yeah,
my fecal cattle.
God, can you stop trying to like have your Mexican agenda for one fucking day? Can we have one podcast where you're not just throwing your Mexican heritage down our throats?
Every time I shit on someone, I think of Frida Kahlo.
Oh my God. I think your Mexican heritage is beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we
Thank
get
you,
it.
Thank you, Sarah Boatwright.
Yeah. We get it. You're voting blue no matter who.
My family came off the Mayflower.
Yeah, you're voting blue no matter who. We get it.
man.
Who's trash dick or not?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden's trash.
So we're Biden's trash dick.
Yeah, we're talking about eating ass, and somehow we got to Joe Biden's trash.
Had to put it in.
He's still the worst, dude.
Joe Biden's trash.
Joe Biden's worse than people that shit on other people.
I got true.
By accident. For fun, Gino.
DJ. So glad you still have this app.
I have this app, everyone. You can already hear her. Let's give a little bit of background from Sarah shit. Boatwright. She was born in Massillon, Ohio.
I was not. No, I 100% was not. What are you?
Shut up. Stop. Wait, you can disprove you? Later.
I'm not from Massillon.
Okay, whatever. We'll
I'm
just
like West.
No one. No one cares. We're gonna do you can add corrections at the end. We're gonna read through all your credits that we found online.
Who's saying from Massillon?
Okay, you attended Oberlin Conservatory
of
Music.
What the fuck is your problem? Why are you doing this?
And moved to New York to pursue an MFA at Bard. Is that real?
None of that is real.
It's like, I said Pratt, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You're an actor / improviser.
Yeah, that could be true.
You
are
known for Blue Bloods, Orange is the New Black, and Earthling. Yes, you were on that.
Yeah,
okay. You were on an episode of Law and Order SVU, and your character's name was Riley.
Yeah, that yes, is okay. true. Yes,
Melanor on Anthem, and Homunculus. Is that a, does that sound? Do
Homunculus.
Homunculus. Does that sound any whatever?
That's
like
correct.
Any,
okay, yeah, that's correct.
And you are Carmen Cardio. On extremely serious.
Are you okay?
Extremely serious indie wrestling, and overall, you're an MMA fan, and
overall,
wrestling
fan. Yep.
Okay, what are your corrections? What are your?
Well, contrary to popular belief, even though I am a straight white woman from the Midwest. I did not go to Oberlin. I did not study music. I cannot play an instrument, and I cannot sing.
Because apparently that was so offensive that I said you were born in Massillon.
Where did you find that information?
It was somewhere you were supposed to be teaching, or somewhere you had an exhibit.
Oh my God! Well, that's
in
a different Sarah Boat. No, that's a different Sarah Boat. Right?
It
no,
had your picture
in Massillon.
It had
you
your
also
picture.
Like. There's so many people in graves with your name from the 1800s.
Bitch, I know. I know. That's all that was. Yo, I've made Sarah Boatwright Googleable. Like, besides death, that was literally all I would find on the internet whenever I tried to Google myself. Which, yeah, I've done that a lot over the course of my adult life.
Okay,
you know?
You're a narcissist. Great.
I'm a millennial. I'm just a millennial.
Okay. Okay. So anything else that you wanted to correct? So you went to Pratt.
I went to Pratt. I didn't go to Bard.
Okay.
Or Oberlin, but those are good schools.
Yeah, because she was like, Sarah does fine art, and I was like, no.
I went to Pratt for fine art. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I have a long storied history of education and work in New York City. I've done a lot of different jobs. Do you want to hear?
Like a studio.
Well, yeah. So at Pratt, I studied studio art. I was in my concentration was sculpture. But what I ended up doing mostly for my thesis and beyond were essentially character videos. I would sit.
What the
you're
fuck
gonna roast
to
me
do?
For this so hard.
No,
but
just
like,
be yourself and accept that it's gonna happen anyway. Just like how we're all gonna get coronavirus like HPV.
I mean, yeah. I might already have it. You know?
Yeah, you definitely have it now.
In this tiny hot room. but like I used to sit around in public places and record overheard conversations, and then I would transcribe them into scripts, and then I would act out all of the parts of the conversation as I heard it.
Dude, that's crazy.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
That's
creepy.
That's what I was doing.
I'm creepy, so I'm into it.
Oh yeah, that's what I was doing, and you know, it was like I was so self-conscious about presenting that work, and then the second I did, like, the dean of the department, all my professors, like, they're like, holy shit, Sarah, like, they're like, you are making work now, you know, because, like, up until then, I feel like I was kind of playing at being an artist, but, like, I'm not the type of person who wants to, I'm not like an artist in the capital A sense. Like, I don't want to sit around in a studio, like, making work by myself. I like collaborating with people. I like being around people. So what do we got here?
This is all the lies.
Yeah, Candy pulled up.
This is so crazy. What is this?
It's your face. And it says you go to Oberlin.
Oh my God.
You did performance. You did. Yeah.
No, that's not. No, that's not me.
Did I just read somebody else's.
But is that your picture?
I think this is Joko's.
That your picture?
That's my fucking picture, which is so weird that they have that picture, because that picture wasn't taken until 2018, and this happened in 2011. This was a very lame event, but I took some videos that I had made in college and played them at Roulette, which is like a music hall near here, like downtown Brooklyn. And like four people came, and they were all like, they had no idea what to make of my videos, because like, like, I didn't even know what context in which to present them. You know, they were like kind of funny, but not really. They were kind of.
This ages you too. This says you were born in 1980.
That's not that. I mean, that's just quite.
I know it's not you.
That's not my my bio. No. Scroll down. So it says something about Sarah Boatwright reenactment videos. Yeah. So that must be where my.
But no, everyone just like didn't know the context of your videos.
Yeah, because I'm like, that's your Halloween.
It was just like, yeah, I just like didn't know how to, I didn't know how to make work. I didn't know who my audience was, you know? So like there was definitely a precedent for it. Like at that time, there were all these like video artists that I really admired whose work I was kind of following. Probably most notably like Alex Bagg and Kate Hardy, who I later interned briefly for, and like Wynn Greenwood did this thing called Tracy and the Plastics, which was like a fake band that she like. So a lot of people were like kind of like in the early aughts, late 90s, were kind of like doing this like weird performative kind of like borderline comedy shit. And now you see it more in comedy, like all of the kids that have come out of the Annoyance. I mean, Holy Fuck Comedy Hour was very much like the kind of shit I used to see in galleries when I was coming out of art school. So like that sort of thing was really exciting to me when that was still a thing. And well, now all those guys are like, you know, kind of breaking the through the mold, so to speak, or hitting the big time. But yeah, so it was just, but like, I was just like out there at Pratt, like working in a vacuum. And like at my junior year, I almost dropped out to like go, like I was watching The Office a lot and I was like, how do I do what they're doing? Mm. And I had no idea where Upright Citizens Brigade was. And then I was taken there like a year later by one of my classmates.
Yeah.
We like waited online for ASCAT and shit. And we saw Horatio Sands and Amy Poehler and like a bunch of, you know, all the famous peoples doing it, and I was like, that's cool. And then I just sat on that for like 8 years.
And then you did it.
And then I did it.
Later. Okay, well, good to know.
that was like a long rambling.
Yeah. No, of the right bio.
Yeah.
Of the right bio, yeah.
don't believe everything you Google.
So I'll take a trash podcast.
So hot in here. Yeah. No. Yeah. All dick is.
Yeah. So the first question is.
Uh huh.
Do you think all dick is trash?
So, you know that I'm like in the middle of getting my groove back in terms of dating. Linkster, thank you. And I've been pretty actively dating. Like I've been dating aggressively, actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say Sarah getting her groove back, quote unquote, is her dating 10 people.
Yeah, so I'm so, you know, to be completely honest, I haven't had any D since December, and that was XD. Yeah. So you know, that's I don't even
we
know
don't
if that
like
counts.
XD.
No. Yeah, you're right. It was pretty awesome though, but actually, it was a bad idea. But anyways, yeah, so is all dick trash? The jury's kind of out for me, to be honest.
Ooh.
Millie, I know you don't want to hear this, but like I think I'm like actually meeting some decent people.
Oh, well, yeah, no. I mean, I'm not gonna...
Are their dicks trash? I guess.
I mean, it's
out.
Not even like bad dick. It's just like, as do you feel like men as a society...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, has been shitty. Like, of course, there's gonna. I have to believe that not every single, like, literally not every single dick is trash. Or why am I still dating? Why haven't I pivoted to women? And if it was literally, that easy, I would. But
I know, same.
I know.
I've tried.
It's also, like, what is this? Just women are not easier.
They're not. No, they're not. No,
it's
no,
very bold.
Like, people are like, oh my god, but like. Men suck. That's why I only take girls. I'm like, listen, I knew somebody who had a 9-hour breakup talk, like, and you know, waiting on somebody, like, I'm ready, I take forever to get ready. The idea of waiting on someone else to get ready, it's not gonna be easy. Anything is everything is not great, but yeah.
So
I know
you
hate
people.
Yeah, so. I know that, like, literally not, like, every single man is the worst piece of shit. But you've been meeting some... So you're... So let me ask you a week from now. Are you still feel the same way when they all stop texting?
Absolutely fucking not. Yeah, I... Yeah, I mean, there's always that that risk. But also, like, I don't know. That's the thing about having so many on rotation.
Yeah,
is that when one stops texting you,
yeah,
it's a fucking relief.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I don't know if it's like a millennial thing. I don't know if it's a New York City thing. I don't know if it's like an us thing or a them thing or whatever. But like, you know, because this has happened to you too. You fucking meet somebody.
What are you talking about?
You fucking meet somebody, uh-huh, and you fucking go all in. Like, yeah, you go ham within 48 hours of that, of meeting that person. You're on his dick. You're in his home. You've got a drawer in their dresser. Like, you guys are talking about vacations. You're doing this. You're making plans. You're like being fucking crazy, and you're meeting each other's friends and family and whatever. And it's nutso. It's nuts.
That doesn't happen at all.
I don't think that's happened to me in 48 hours, but yeah. Like, I know what you're mean. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, one or 2 weeks.
I feel like then they're the ones that push all this shit, and then they're the ones that are like...
Yeah, and then they pump the brakes after, you know, you're just trying to keep
up.
Yeah, keep pace with them or whatever. So, but it's like a chicken or the egg question. It's like, well... You know, am I keeping pace with them? Or are they keeping pace with me? Or, you know, is this something I even want? Like,
yeah,
could this person have been anybody who showed interest in me?
Has this like always happened to you, or has it just been like the last like 5 years?
Oh,
years?
I would say like throughout my 20s, that was a thing.
Really?
I'm 33 now. Mm-hmm. And I know that like I'm not completely out of the woods in my 20s, but I'm pretty out. Like, yeah, life is very different than it was, you know, even at, like 2 years ago.
Even like when I first met you.
Yeah. When we first met, I was 29, I think, or 30. I had just turned 30. You came to my 30th birthday party.
Yeah. I knew you before that, though.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, I mean, as you know, like, I've made a lot of like very fundamental life changes.
Yeah.
But like, I, you know, it's taken me a while to come back to the dating thing and like actually treat it in a way that's like not so emotionally fraught. And I don't know, like, if this is like a normal thing for people, mm-hmm, or like, but I'm like seeing now a lot of people around me in my life who kind of like do that thing where they like go all in really quickly.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I'm going to try to like change names and not name names as much as I can.
Yeah, whatever.
But like,
unless you use one of the names from another.
But like, yeah, but like, you know, the two people I live with like are both now in relationships, and it happened very fast,
mm-hmm,
you know? And I don't know in what context I mean, I know the context of one and how they met, but I don't know about the other. And like, you know, all of a sudden this guy shows up and I'm like, you know,
yeah,
oh, now you guys are like, oh, you're together.
Yeah.
You know? And I guess, I don't know. I was talking to somebody about, I was on a first date with a fucking guy in an open relationship yesterday. Surprise.
Oh, that guy?
Surprise.
The one that you talked to, that you said it was really nice. When did you find out?
When we sat down, when I sat down with my coffee next to him, and I was like, yeah, whatever. We're making small talk. And he was like, yeah, my partner. I had an inkling. His only clue on his profile is like, you know, it was the prompt on Hinge that says, we'll get along.
Oh, this is not
if.
The league.
No, not the league guy.
The league guy's cool.
The league guy's cool. Yeah, okay. I really liked him, actually.
She's on multiple dating apps.
I'm on two.
Honey.
I whittled it down. Okay. I was like on the circle, and I was on the league, and I was like, but the league, like, I've only met one person on the league, and I've met like 50 people on Hinge.
Yeah. So he has a partner. So are you going to keep dating him?
I mean, here's the thing. It was really nice to sit and talk with him for a while, because I could be like really open about shit.
Yeah, there is a different guard, because now you're, you know, when you're dating, when you first date somebody, and it could be something serious, it's not you, it's your representative.
Yeah.
But then when there's like that thing lifted off of like, this isn't going to work, or like, not like this isn't going to be a really long-term thing,
mm-hmm,
that weight is lifted and it's like, oh, I don't have to be my representative, I can be me.
Oh.
But for me, that's not enough to like want to continue to see someone. It's just like a nice feeling in the moment, but I don't know how long like that good feel, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, I tend to like really let my guard down with people who I know I'm not gonna see again.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just like, fuck it. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So what kind of antidepressants are you on, you know?
Yeah. I think, like, I had, like, a breakup date kind of thing where, like, we met up to break up and then we had, like, a really nice date after and, like, had dinner and everything.
Oh, right.
And then there I just told him, like, all these stories that I probably wouldn't have told him about, like, other people I've dated or, like, other things in my life. You know, I just opened up to him in a different way.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really cool and nice. But, you know, that was only because I'm, like, I never know when I'm going to see you again.
Yeah. Like, there's not, like, this... you really have to have boundaries with people that you like.
So, yeah, exactly. So you went on a so then how did the date go?
With the polyamory guy? It was good. Like, we met up at Sincerely Tommy in Bed-Stuy. It was very, like, I always, my first dates are always coffee dates. I have a lot of really specific rules about dating this time around. Mm-hmm. The first date always has to be a coffee date.
Yeah.
Always. There's one person who could not adhere to my very, very simple rules, and I'll get to him later. But yeah, like, we met up for coffee. He fortunately has, like, daytime availability as well, which is really nice. You know, I mean,
that is nice.
I'm being an actor and a fitness professional, so yeah. I have, like, a fuck ton of daytime availability, which is nice. But all these dudes are fucking working in tech startups and whatever, except for this guy. So I'm like, cool, cool, cool. And he's really quite cute. You know, he's like a good dresser and he has tattoos and nice hair and whatever. And yeah. And then on his profile, he said, you know, we'll get along if you're open minded.
Oh, God.
Which I fucking hate. I fucking hate it when dudes say, are you open minded? And yeah. I had another conversation like that with somebody else last night. And I was just like, okay. What are you fucking asking me? Am I okay with group sex?
Yeah.
Sure. Do I want to share my boyfriend? No. You know? Like, but like, let's be specific. Why are we so afraid of specifics, you know? So he says, like, we'll get along if you're open-minded and you're into or ethical non-monogamy.
Oh, no.
And I was like, you know, like, my repeat mistake on dating apps in general is just looking at pictures.
Yeah, no. There's this one, literally, I looked at this, I swiped right on this guy who was like, I'm like, oh, he dresses cute, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we match and then he messages me. And then I look at his profile and it's like, looking for someone with daddy issues so I can ruin your life. And I was like, whoa, I did not read this.
Okay, well.
I'm like, I just thought you were kind of... And there's so many guys where I'm like, oh, he looks like he's not like hot, like, you know, and not that I'm like super shallow, but there are guys that I feel like are super cute or like, oh, my God. Yes. There's like three different categories for guys. Right. They're like, oh, my God, this guy's hot, but I'm not into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this guy's so fucking hot. If he asked me to have sex with him tomorrow, I would do it. Like,
yeah
there's that kind of hot. And then there's like, you know what? He's not like the hottest guy I've ever seen, but he's really cute and he seems like he'd be a nice person. Uh-huh. So I'm going to give it a chance because I'm looking for something, you know, I'm trying to date with more intention. It's always those guys who are like, you swipe right on them and they're like, come over and suck my dick. And I'm like, if the guy in the second category was like hot, like said that to me, I'd be like, okay.
Not suck your dick, but
like, it's always the ugly guys that are.
Well,
like,
unfortunately, like there's always someone of any gender or, you know, that will go and like fulfill that. Cause there's just so many shitty men in the world, shitty people in the world that just get like.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean.
So are you going to go out with the poly guy again?
I don't know. I'm not going to prioritize it. Yeah. And he's not going to prioritize me because he has a living girlfriend. And he's like moving upstate in 2 months.
No,
and I'm just like,
no,
like all the, you know, we had a really interesting conversation.
I mean,
but
I have sex with him once.
I'm curious, you know, because I'm like.
And honestly, if the dick is bad, you're going to be so mad.
Dude, also, yeah. Also, because he was like, my girlfriend's getting kind of annoyed with me because I go out on more dates and I hook up with more girls than she does with guys, and she wants to have some sex too. And I was just like, dude, you're cute, but you're not banging. You know what I mean? Like, why are you being so greedy?
And then also too, that's usually never the case.
Is that like,
well, yeah, no, but also, yeah, I was like, so do you guys like share partners? And he was like, oh yeah, you know, but like, you know, it's pretty common to like have a threesome with another woman. We're really looking for like a really cool, hot, bisexual dude, but I don't like men. So you're, he said something like, I don't like most men. And I was like, this guy is like, I was like, are you autistic or something? Like, there was like a very, like, yes, he had a, he was very much cut off from, he needed communication, but he didn't seem very emotional.
Well, the thing is, this is the thing. I feel like great that like these alternative dating things are being embraced and like whatever. But I feel like so many people are forcing themselves to date in this way and not like, and they don't actually like it and they feel like they're lame or not. You know, it's like, why are you, if you don't like men, why are you trying to go and do a threesome? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If she's not having fun dating other people, why are you doing that? You know?
Yeah.
Like, why? You know what it's I mean? Just, it's just to do it. So then you can have this really, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's like some sort of really weird self-judgment thing. Because ultimately, it's like, listen, if polyamory works for you or like, you know, threesomes or group, whatever you like, play parties, whatever, whatever your thing is, that's fine. If it's not your thing, that's like, you know, this is like Stan Tatkin stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with that guy, but like he's a relationship counselor, like kind of goes back to the biological source with a lot of like relationship issues. But, you know, he's like, put all the deal breakers out on the table. If one can't be reconciled, don't try to force the relationship. You know what I mean? Like, and
that's what we were just we were talking with Elise about. Like, she was saying that, which I kind of agree of, like, the deal breaker. I feel like what a lot of people do, it's either they don't put the deal breakers off or they like take all the deal breakers out immediately. Mm-hmm. And then like they don't even give a chance to like, you know, it's like a first, even before a first date, it's like, hey, I'm not looking for this. I'm not looking for that. Don't expect anything from me. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, whoa, I don't even know if I like you yet. We have like, haven't even gone on a date, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's kind of like the dichotomy of those two things. Like,
yeah.
Like not saying you're deal breakers and not accepting that maybe it's not a good match, or, you know, like saying it all like precursor to everything. I don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. It's kind of like, I hear a lot of people, I mean, I talk with friends and stuff a lot about, like, relationship stuff. And do you know who Josh Korda is? He's, like, one of the creators of Dharma Punks, but he's, like,
I've heard of
kind
it.
Of, you see him around Williamsburg. He's tattooed from, like, his jawline and his, you know, facial region all the way down. He's like a Buddhist monk.
But he
holds these, like, meditation sessions once a week in Williamsburg. And he's also a counselor. He's also, like, a therapist. And I have a friend who's been seeing him, and you know, he's always recommending, like, you know, state your needs as soon as possible. But I honestly don't even know what that looks like. I had another friend who made this great suggestion. She was like, next time you're out on a first date, just ask them if they'll do something for you really simple. Like, maybe it's holding a door. Maybe it's pulling a chair out. Maybe it's just, hey, can you text me when you get home? You know, which is like my personal favorite thing. So I'll say, hey, can you text me when you get home? If it's any kind, if there's any kind of pushback on that shit, don't see that guy again. Mm. You know what I mean? If he can't even like meet such a basic little fundamental need, like what are we even doing here? You know?
Yeah, I'm kind of divided on that, because I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't like tests, but at the same time, like, that's a good point.
It's just a respect thing.
Yeah. But also like, so the thing is, the question was, is all dick is trash? You said no, but then named 18 trash things. So by default, Sarah, it's a yes from you. Moving on.
That's the short answer. Yeah.
The short answer is no, but the long answer is here's 18 reasons why. 13 reasons why all dick is trash.
Damn, dude.
Sarah, what is your most trash dick experience?
Oh, God. It's
sexual
so
or anything.
Hard to pick.
It doesn't have to be sexual. It could be just like dating in general.
Oh, my God. I mean, art school was like one huge trash dick experience. You know, I like engaged with an emotionally abusive guy for several years. I fucked my way all around, up and down the fine arts department, you know, and which isn't even that big, so that's not a hard thing to do. And
don't sell yourself short, man.
No, all right. It was kind of hard. It was kind of hard.
It's like an accomplishment. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, I came to New York City, you know, a semi-virginal, drug-addled Midwestern teenager. And then I stayed and became this. So, you know.
A tattooed, sober.
Yeah, tattooed, sober woman of grace and dignity.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's see. I mean, aside from like the obvious, you know, I mean, like if you watch something like Girls, the show Girls,
sure,
you know, like various iterations of like, you know, the encounters between Adam Driver and other women, like, are kind of like what happened, you know, just like lack of boundaries, yeah, and like dude showing up to a party with a different girl and like, I fucked a guy, you know, the emotionally abusive guy, and I like fucked at a house party one time, but it was like in a loft space with a giant round window and everybody at the party saw us fucking.
Were you guys wearing blankets or something?
No, we were just having sex with some of our clothes on, but he loved like having sex with clothes on. Do you guys ever meet a guy who loves sex with clothes on? Or like, no. I mean, that is a category on Pornhub, fully clothed sex.
I don't like it. Because I like a connection, so...
Yeah. Like, sometimes I'm kind of like, ooh, it's kind of like...
I've done it before, but it's not like my favorite.
No, yeah.
It's
not
convenient, me neither.
Yeah. I mean, it's like kind of, you know, when you're drunk and or high and whatever.
I did it once, but it was like... Well, not so fully clothed sex is a red flag.
Yeah, I don't know. No, that's not even. I was just going off on a tangent, but like, I don't know. More recently, like, let's see. I was dating a guy briefly, who, you know, was like giving me kind of like corpse vibes. You know, like it was like it didn't really matter whether or not I was there, and I didn't have any emotional responses from him, whatever. And one night he was walking me somewhere. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, do you even care if I'm with you or not? And he goes, can I get back to you on that? Yeah. I was like, my man.
Yeah, so that was a no.
That was a no.
Another
guy who, you know, I'll just say this. Like, I could say something about his manhood.
Yeah.
But, like... That's really beside, like, it. I truly am a true believer in it. It isn't the size of the boat; it's the motion of the ocean. It's nice to have a big boat, but you know, it's also nice to just have somebody who's very present and like and sexual, you know, and not ashamed of their body.
Yeah,
which is like crazy how many men are ashamed. It's like crazy how many people are ashamed of their bodies and of sex and sexual acts and stuff. Yeah. And so I was with this guy who it seemed like we had a really nice physical connection, and we had sex, and it was kind of, it turned into me kind of having to like mother him and to like, you know, like he was just like, oh, I'm so like, I'm just, this is so hard for me. Another sober guy. And it was so hard for me. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. You know, whatever. And then this motherfucker like spent a weekend ghosting me. And you know what he made me do? He made me go on Instagram and look at his activity. You know how you can see other people's activity? I never look at that shit. And then I like manically scrolled through the whole weekend of all my friends' activities just to see that all he was liking were like suicide girl posts all weekend.
Oh God.
Oh my God. This kid was like so, and then I was like,
and you're like basically a suicide girl.
I know. And I'm like, I'm not bad. I'm hot, you know?
Yeah. You're tatted, you got the purple hair, you're a suicide girl.
I've got this great push-up bra on right now. And
Sarah like insisted on taking off her sweater, so she's
it's
in a
so
bra.
Hot in here.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I take my pants off?
Too? No, bitch. Okay. Keep it on.
All right. But yeah. So So,
so he got suicide girl shit.
He was like, he liked just dumb girl shit. I don't know. It was just like boob pictures and what, you know, the boob shit that like people get.
Pornhub. Yeah. And
I was just like, I was like,
or text me back and let's fuck.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, exactly. Like, I'm literally here, like, ready to like have sex with you and be your girlfriend and like all the things. But I saw this and then I like met up with him after this weekend where he was like, oh my God, I was so busy with shooting all week. Who's an actor? Oh my God, I was so busy. And I was like, yeah, you were ghosting me. And he was like, no, I wasn't. I wasn't ghosting you. I was really so busy. And I was like, yeah, you were on Instagram all weekend. And then he was like, I need some space. I was like, bitch. Yeah, you do.
Can you just hold me after I cry after sex and not call me out on my shit, please?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They want a mom they can cheat on.
That's yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he got it that weekend. But, you know, that shit lasted like 2 weeks, honestly. Yeah. I couldn't even believe it lasted that long. So what else? I don't know.
I feel like that's a lot.
Is that a lot? Okay. Yeah, I mean,
we have other questions.
I have a decade filled with trash dick.
Yeah. So what are some red flags you've chosen to ignore in the past?
Oh, boy.
Like some things that like stick out.
Let me go through the pile.
I'm low-key excited.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything that's like, oh my God, I just spent $400 on blank. Most recently, this person that I was seeing for a little bit, it was keyboards, computer keyboards. He would spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on computer keyboards and keys and tools for the, and little tiny springs for the keyboard keys and cleaning supplies. I can't believe you're losing your shit right now. If he listens to this, I just want him to know that I really appreciate his passion, but I think he's financially irresponsible. So financial irresponsibility.
Yeah, but what is that indicative of? So if you spend $400 on keyboards, what does that mean? Like later down
it's like
the line?
Indicative of that. There's no awareness of investment, of like emotional investment or a financial investment, of course, or just anything. There's no, like, he can't see like 5 feet in front of his face, you know, is kind of what I get, you know. And like it's really hard to like pin. I mean, it's just also for me personally, and maybe this is projecting, but it like points to like bigger issues with just like impulsive and compulsive behavior.
It feels very like manic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
especially,
and like
little springs just there like picking his little keyboard.
Oh my God, yeah. And also just like getting like fuck tons of Amazon packages and,
oh gosh,
you know what I mean?
You like they can get them delivered to their house and not like have the mailman be like, well, no one's answering the door, and turn around.
He literally woke up like he said, I'm so proud of myself. I woke up at 7 a.m. today. I had to go pick up a package from USPS. Like, it was like keyboard parts he just got from Poland, from a man in Poland who...
I can't do this.
I could be getting this detail wrong, but anyways. I could imagine him, like, sitting at home listening to this and be like, that wasn't what that was, you know?
You're listening to this...
Thank you for listening. You're a good guy.
If you're listening to this, you should get that goo that cleans in between your keyboard.
Oh, he probably has it. I have like an old iMac desktop with an old one of those, and he pushed down on the key, and he was like, "This keyboard is so dirty."
Oh god.
He was like, "There is so much dirt under this key. That's why it's not pushing down correctly." I was like, "It's not.
It's my skin."
Yeah.
Well, one time I like went because my space bar wasn't working, and I went took it to the computer lab, and it was a fat ass booger under.
Damn.
That was so embarrassing. Oh. I know.
Oh.
And Anyway, okay, Sarah.
That's a red somehow flag. That story just got sadder.
I know. I took it to the school computer lab, and they were like, "You nasty ass bitch." And that was like the second time because my computer caught like a huge STD from me trying to watch a sex tape. I'm not gonna tell you which one. But okay,
can I say another one?
Yes,
just one other. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But like kind of linked to the money thing, substances, you know, yeah. Like I'm sober. So like I don't actively try to avoid bars or like drinking people or drinkers or anything like that. I'm more afraid of like people ostracizing me because I don't drink or do drugs.
Yeah.
And, but in turn, because I want to be like, hey, yeah, it's cool. Like, I'm cool. Like, just because I'm sober doesn't mean I can't hang, you know? Then I end up actually falling in with like drunkards a lot or alcoholics or addicts because, they're very charismatic.
Yeah.
You know?
Stop looking at me when you say charismatic drunks. I mean, I know.
You just fell asleep at the dumping
Millie.
Table.
Yeah, I did.
Millie,
I
you're the most
everywhere.
Charismatic drunk of them all.
Stop. I felt, oh my God. I still can't. Me and Sarah taught like college. We went to this Ohio State University and we taught these kids improv. And then they usually have this huge party at one of the houses. And like, I have like, oh man, there's
oh,
a long
shit.
Story.
Oh yeah. My God. Oh my God. Can I tell? Sure. I don't know. Actually, I didn't see it anything, but it was like, I was like at this, we were in Columbus in September, at OSU for their like buy-in, semi-annual improv festival or whatever. And, I was sitting on a couch with a bunch of like teenagers.
Literally, like,
which is
19.
So fun.
19 year olds.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was
Sarah
having so
surrounded
much fun.
By 19 year olds. Because
I was like
boys.
Not drinking and I was just like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was mostly queer kids because
yeah,
I feel like that's.
With Sarah.
All Gen Z people
they're
are
all
queer.
Queer.
Oh, they're
yeah,
all
yeah.
queer.
They're all queer.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is little great. Queeros. Yeah, yeah. I like them a lot. But they're cute kids. And we were just like hanging out and talking. And then like Millie comes like, bowling into the room and she's like, we gotta get out of here. I was like, well, we're having a great time, like whatever. And she's like, I just fell down the stairs so hard, everybody saw me, I can't be here anymore. I was like, okay,
no,
are you
bitch,
okay
that's
are
not
you, okay?
You did not say what are you okay, you were like
okay, but I
you fell down
I must,
then
I must have peppered
fell
it in
down
there
the
how do
stairs?
You remember
yo no this is what happened.
She wasn't drunk.
I was
you
I
were drunk.
I was not drunk. This is what happened. There was this one kid who was like, there are these like young college kids and like it's just like they're greasy, like young kid who thought he was so fucking funny. And I had taught him earlier and I was giving him notes and he was like kind of like not really receiving my notes well. And you can tell like it's the first time that anyone really gave him like hard notes. So he was like, whatever. So then him and his friend, like their whole bit was to come into this party. Like they came in wearing boxing sparring helmets and sunglasses, and that was like their bit for the party. Like they were like the funny guys, and I was like, fucking kill me. And then they're doing that, and then another thing, they came in those little tiny skateboards that are plastic.
Yeah, the ones that bulldogs ride.
Yeah, the ones that bulldogs ride. They came on that, and then they flipped it over and put almonds on it. And then his whole bit for the party was like he had the boxing helmet and the sunglasses with almonds on his skateboard. When he's like hors d'oeuvres, hors d'oeuvres, like
that was a frisbee.
No. It was. I remember the skateboard that he was riding over. Exactly, because it was a frisbee, whatever. But the skateboard. So he's like hors d'oeuvres, and like he was like he thought he was like the funniest fucking person ever. And I'm like, this dude is fucking nasty. So I go to use the bathroom upstairs. And I'm walking down and I see him with his arm over this girl. Fuck. And this little, this like fucking like dumb 19 year old girl's like giggling like oh my God, you're so funny. Oh, and they're like flirting and they're like about to kiss. And I was like, yo, this shit is nasty. Like, this guy fucking sucks, girl. What are you doing? Girls are so stupid. That's what I was like, girl, I'm thinking, like, girl, what are you doing? But I was, and I didn't see the stairs. And I like skipped the stair. And it wasn't like a, it was like a Home Alone.
It's like a pause.
Yeah,
like
it wasn't even
the beginning of a stair.
It was like five stairs down, like, boom, boom. And then I fell flat on my back. And like, when I'm old, you know, like, it wasn't even like all the kids like stopped because it was like in the kitchen. They didn't see me coming down. So I just like fell, bam. And then like, it wasn't even like they were laughing at me. They were like,
because that shit looked fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, they were like, oh my God, she fell. Call the ambulance. And they were like, oh my God, the old lady fell. Because I was like, obviously one of the oldest people at this party.
Oh my God.
And then I was
by like 5 years.
By like 10 years, bitch. Like, they're
but
all
you only
20.
Look 25.
I know I can book 23, but. I definitely like, so they were all really concerned and they were gonna get like one of them was running to get me ice and call the ambulance, and I just got up and I was like, we have to go.
Hey, you still saved that girl. You still saved
no,
that girl.
I don't think so. She was making out with, I feel like I don't know, but anyway, Sarah.
Oh yeah, anyways,
without naming names or you know what, name whatever you okay. know, whatever you feel comfortable with. But
bitch,
is that, that's not me.
That is you.
You.
Oh my gosh. Somebody's, it's people sending me trash dick confessions.
Where are you tucking your phone?
Behind me, bitch. Okay. So what's been your most trash experience in comedy and or acting?
Oh boy. Romantically, you mean?
No. Just like venue or like shitty promoter. It could be anything. It could be romantic, but it could just be like, just shitty.
Yeah, you know, I've had quite a few shitty experiences, and it's there are two that stick out to me. So this first one was right when I stopped, because I went to an acting program for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I went to like an acting conservatory at a studio called Maggie Flanagan Studio. Mm-hmm. And it's a Meisner Technique studio. Meisner Technique is a very like intensive, like very emotionally charged experience, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you spend a whole year, you spend like 9 months straight like working on like emotional improvisations and stuff. And then you spend another 9 months working on script work. And, you know, by the time we all got out of there, we were very, very good. We were very good at what we did. Mm-hmm. Everybody who was in that program was very hardworking. And some of them are like series regulars on things now, mm-hmm. whatever. And, we had what was called a business course, and, that cost extra money. And it wasn't mandatory or anything, but it was kind of like the end game, you know? It was kind of like what brought a lot of people in the studio, because like if you're new to acting, you don't have any industry connections, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of like led to believe that this business course would be good for us. We had to audition for the class, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And then it was led by a woman who, I'm not gonna, whatever. I mean, you could find out who this person is pretty easily probably, but she's a woman who's like not very active in the industry anymore, but at that time she had just produced a documentary about casting, and she knew a lot of casting directors from her time working at Disney. Mm. And she had a lot of like producer credits, and she had literally been on TV like 2 times. Mm-hmm. You know, and she just thought like her shit did not stink. And she took it upon herself to like embarrass every single one of us, personally, like separately, you know, in front of industry people at various times. And it just kind of felt like, you know, that was like my foray into the industry. So like, I was like, oh, nobody's going to be my advocate. Like, yeah. I'm the only person who can be my advocate. Mm-hmm. But now I've got all these people somebody literally was like, yeah, that was a good read, but you should probably put some tape on your forehead and like do it again, because like your eyebrows are all over the place. No,
I got criticized for the movement of my eyebrows and my hair and the, you know, color of my hair and not being good and like whatever. It was just like everything came under attack when I was under that lady's tutelage, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so shortly after that, you know, I started reluctantly, but, you know, trying to like pursue acting work of my own accord. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like paying for subscription services and like submitting myself online every mm-hmm. day and whatever. And I started to get auditions. I started to get a lot of auditions on my own. And one such audition, this was like this preempted like a like my first like I'm gonna quit acting mm-hmm. like bout. But like
sounds like there was a lot of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, so like it probably wasn't even the first time. It was probably like Kate, I mean, you know, this her first name is Kate. Mm-hmm. That was probably the first, second, and third times that I wanted to quit acting. And then like, you know, I had a bunch of shitty auditions for shitty projects, and then I like went out to audition for this guy who like emailed me, and he was like, okay, please come in for an audition, and here's the lineup. And he like had a little copy paste like list mm-hmm. in the email, which is so weird. Like, if you know anything about auditioning, it's like so weird to like be copied onto an email with other people you're auditioning
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah.
And or you know, like auditioning for the same role or whatever. So he had like this little like spreadsheet excerpt in the email that had like a name, and then a time, and then my name, and then a time after that, and then another name and a time. And so I was like, cool, I'll see you soon. And it was all the way up at Shetler on 54th, and of course, like, I was coming from Bushwick, of course I was running late, of course I didn't want to do it. And so I like email him, and I'm like, hey, I'm running late, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. And I get there, and he is like in a room alone, and I was like, oh, hey, were you able to, you know, see one of the other girls or something, you know? And he was like, there were no other girls, those names were fake. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I always pad my schedule because I know actresses like you are always running late. And I was just like,
what?
So, okay, I guess let's do this audition. And then I did it, and I probably did a fine job on it and whatever. I don't even remember what it was. But he then was like, you know, okay, that was good. And then he like gave me some really like abstract esoteric direction and had me do it again. And then he stopped me and was like, you know, you could play this part, but you're not the part. But I can see that you kind of know how to work, but da da da, and kind of nagged me for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then was like, I'm gonna just send you a brief email. It's gonna be like for my own records, and it's gonna contain a lot of hashtags. This guy had literally no experience. Like, he told me this was the first thing he was, like, he wasn't in show business, you know, like it was the first thing. Yeah. And he was just like out here like taking it upon himself to like, I don't know, like gaslight a bunch of actresses like for a non-union, non-paid, like whatever.
Non-paid.
Of course not. None of that shit was paid at that time. And then like it was at Shetler, and my brother was like at a bar nearby or something somehow. And I just remember walking over there and meeting him and just crying and crying and crying. And I was like, I don't fucking know why I'm doing this. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not gonna do it anymore. It's so fucking stupid, you yeah. know? And I just like kind of like would self-medicate with alcohol over it, whatever. And then that was shortly before I enrolled at UCB.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, I kind of was like, fuck being an actor for a minute here. I'm just gonna like focus on this. You know, I'm going to just try to have some fun. And of course, it wasn't fun after like 201 because everybody's like, I got to get an advanced study, you know?
Yeah.
And just that kind of shit. Like, if I can just get this one thing, then my career's going to blow up.
Yeah.
You know? That's shitty too. Anyways, yeah. Sorry. I feel like I took that to a super dark place. But
No, that's good to exactly, hear. That's why yeah. That's why we ask it.
Yeah.
And what I'm what I'm learning about all these interviews too is that even when you do get your big break, you don't know if it's gonna air. You don't know if they're gonna cut you last
minute.
Oh my
god.
You don't know if you're gonna
yeah.
break your arm and the understudy gets it. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Like, there's oh, like, nothing
there's not,
is.
Yeah, you can be looking certain. For that one thing.
Oh my god. Do you know Anna Kane? Anna Kane is Michael Cruz Kane's sister, and she used yeah. to do improv around with us, like kind of around the same time we were taking classes. Yeah. And I remember she briefly did improv with me and my team, Mommy Dearest. And I was so jealous of her because I was like, she's so beautiful and she's booked a bunch of TV roles. And at that time, I'd never booked a TV role. And she was so funny and so vibrant.
You didn't book lesbian number two in Orange is the New Black?
Well, first of all, no. That's not the role. I was not a lesbian in Orange is the New Black, but I could have been because nobody knows anything about that character. But she told me that she was in a really bad place at that time because she had just shot an entire season of television.
Oh, fuck.
That didn't get greenlit after all. It didn't get didn't make the cut. It was like that or like Chicago Med or something. Or maybe it was New Amsterdam or whatever. It was another. Yeah. She was series lead in a medical show that was neck and neck with this other medical show that was like competing for time on CBS, and the other one got it. She was just like, I've been doing this for 7 years, and like I really thought that was gonna be it for me, and now I'm just back to the drawing board.
I hope she got paid for all that stuff.
Oh, for sure. But like,
just like,
it's been, man, and I'll say for myself, like, to much like lesser extent, I've had like a lot of close calls these past couple years, and like, you know, in one way, it's like, okay, like, it's really encouraging that, you know, I was, like, dying for these close calls, like, 5 years ago.
Same.
Right? Same. And, like, now we're at that level. And, of course, it's, like, never going to be enough, you know, right? Like, you're always going to be like, oh, I'm going to book it, you know? But it's like, of course. But, like, just getting those people's attention is, like, so...
Getting people's attention and then also, like... There's so many factors, like so many factors out of your control.
Oh, yeah.
That like contribute to something being successful.
I'm sorry. I did not slam it. Where's your fucking phone?
Yeah, my phone's behind me. Tucked in my asshole. In my butt. But yeah, there's just so many things out of your control, and it kind of drives you crazy because it can be like literally I had like a whole spiral yesterday.
Oof.
Because of like multiple gut punches and then
literal ones.
No, yeah, my no, like a lot of like, you know, like stings and then like people that I feel like are not good people getting fucking
amazing
things.
I know who you're talking about. Okay,
so then like it just, you know, drives me, it just feels so like, ugh, you know,
same.
But anyway,
100%
Sarah,
yeah.
You also work in a, like, not you work in a gym. You're, like, personal trainer. You work in fitness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm more of a group fitness trainer these days. Yeah. I don't have any personal training clients, but I do that as well.
So I want to hear about, like, do you feel like, especially because you don't teach a yoga or Pilates. You teach, like, kind of strength training. So I'm, like, wondering if you've ever dealt with, like, arrogant people or like kind of mansplaining, like assholes, and like kind of what is it like to be a woman in that kind of space, like navigating those kind of personalities? Because I can't even imagine.
Oh god. Well, yeah, first of all, I just have to say that like I work at a gym called Session in Williamsburg. I could not have asked for a better boss, a better staff. Those people are my fucking family. They're amazing. I learned so much from them. I've never felt like less than by any of them, and I'm so thankful for that. When I first started there, and I was a new face in the gym, because it's very like, it's very community oriented.
Yeah, that's what
and, like,
I took one class with Sarah and I was like, oh yeah, this is like, I like the vibe, you know. Yeah. It seems like it was very like everyone knew each other kind of thing.
Oh my god, everybody's friends, you know, like they go out for coffee afterwards, whatever. But like, yeah, some of the men, one in particular, again, not gonna name names, but like several of them who are like OG Session clients, like even before Session was Session, they were just clients of my boss Patrick and like whatever. They would push back on my cues so fucking hard, dude. Like I would come up and correct their form and be like, really? Oh, really? No, I don't think so. They wouldn't even say no, but like they would either be like, what? You know, because it's like loud music in there. Or they'd be like, actually, I'd say something that would completely counter what I just said. And I was like, okay, well, we're doing like a high intensity interval training here and we're on a timed circuit. So I'm not going to stand here and like fucking defend myself to you. Just do whatever the fuck you want. And if you injure yourself, you've signed a waiver and I'm not responsible for your silly ass, you know?
Yeah.
So like over time, though, I've definitely earned my keep and like those
particular men, like that one particular man, he's like a good buddy of mine now, but like for a while, you know, the only reason that they are good buddies with me now is because I've like I've like basically turned into like major pain when like my class on Tuesday nights is like 80% men now, and that's like one of the only classes is like mostly men, and then
you
the rest of them are mostly yeah
yeah you
like shut up
like
sit down it's yeah. time for class yeah. you know?
That's what they like.
Yeah, they like that shit, you know.
I know. If anyone knows, I know. Well, yeah, I mean, even like teaching sometimes can be like that, where like, you know, I'll get like a lot of older men and be like, oh, really? Is that how it is? Or like interrupting me as I'm giving notes, or like blah, blah. And like, I'm like, you have to wait for me to like, I'm not going to be like speak when spoken to. But at the same time, like, I have to finish my point before you try to come in and say shit. Like, you are not the teacher, you know? So I'm just like, I get that space with comedy. And I also like, I feel like people subconsciously like, and that's why I preface it. I'm like, if you're going to have a problem with hearing notes from somebody like me, like a woman of color, like, and maybe you don't even know that you have those problems, mm-hmm. but if you are going to have those problems, like, this is not the class for you, mm-hmm. because I can sense like some people are like confused or like want to question me or this and that. And then like, it makes me question myself, you know, but then like, I've just been doing this long enough that when I give a student a note and then I see it works, I'm like, I do know what I'm talking about. And it's like, had like happened so much. And I'm like, I cannot let them. But like these people are not even aware that they're like questioning me in ways that they wouldn't if I was like a straight white guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that there is something to that. But it's like, yeah, it's an ego thing. Yeah. It might be that. You know, it's just like, are you here? But at the end of the day, it's like, you're giving me money.
Yeah.
Like, you're giving us money to, yeah. like, learn something, supposedly.
So why, it's like, why wouldn't you just listen?
Right. Like, are you here to learn or are you here to defend behavior that's not working for you?
Yeah. That's the thing, too. I had one
student. Are you paying me to yeah. defend your shitty behavior?
Yeah. I had one student and, like, I would keep giving them the same notes. They wouldn't listen. And then they did the clash and then it wasn't, you know, and I'm just like, well, you're doing the exact same set that you did when you started the class. You didn't listen to any of my feedback. You didn't challenge yourself. You didn't. So then I'm just kind of like, you know, I can't get mad because at the end of the day, that's what I say too. Like at the end of the day, like, I'm still a working comedian. I'm still getting my opportunities, whether you like are successful or not. I want you to be successful. That's why I give you notes. But if you're not going to take them, I don't like, there's only so much I can give.
Oh, for
but
sure.
At the same time, I'm just like, why did you even take this class if you're not going to listen to anything that I say?
Oh my God. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So it's like, but I was just wondering, and even too, like if you go to, because I know like, that's kind of why I don't even like gyms. That's why I just go to like workout studios, mm-hmm. is because like the shit that people will say to you. Oh, so I'm God, like, yeah. I'm sure if you go to a gym, I wonder if you have any like mansplaining guys like trying to tell you how equipment works while you, meanwhile, you're like.
I think most men are afraid of me. I honestly do think that. I was talking to, okay, so there's this other guy who I'm talking to right now who you, I'm not going to name names and you know who he is, but whatever. But like I have been working on this for months. Okay. Like I have been working on this opportunity for little, don't say his name.
No. But it's hitting.
But you know, like he kind of like started ignoring me on social media for a couple months. Like I gave him my number back in December. Okay. And I was like, hit me up when I get back, which is my mistake. I was like, hit me up when I get back.
Yeah, you should have just waited.
I couldn't wait. So like, I was like hot off the heels of like a bad encounter and like, you know, whatever. But like, yeah, so I gave him my number ages ago and then he like never used it. And then it felt like he completely forgot who I was and he stopped looking at my social media and like whatever. Totally fine. I moved on with my life. And then he started sliding into my DMs again recently. Mm. And then I was like, you know, oh, he posted something about seeing somebody. He literally was standing on the street next to somebody. Oh, my God. Everybody's going to know who this is. He was standing on the street next to somebody who swiped left on him in real time on Tinder.
That's so funny.
I know. And then I was like, bitch. And then I like,
I DM'd him and I was like, okay, first of all, fuck her. And also, lest you forget that I fucking gave you my number months ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He's like, can I still use it? And we've been talking and stuff. What was my point with this?
People are scared of you.
Yeah. So I said to him, I was like, you know, we were like chatting last night and I was like, man, I bet women are pounding down your door. You are a hot vegan comedian.
Now everyone knows who he is.
I don't know.
I was like, and you're a model. And like, you know, like you must be hitting, you know? And he was like, no, not really. And he was like, well, likewise with you. And I said, only the stupid ones, you know, because that's true. And then I was like, no, actually, I think a lot of dudes are scared of me. So
I thought you were gonna say that he said that. Sarah, you can't be telling these guys that guys are scared of you.
Well, I was in the game of flattery last night. I was like laying it on thick.
Well, hopefully it works.
He should be a little scared. He should know also not to.
Well,
fuck with
he
you.
Knows.
Like,
yeah,
hey, you're cute and you're in my good graces now. But yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in here shirtless. Okay, like I came in here and just started ripping my clothes off. Yeah. Like fucking, I heard Chris Maloney does that on set too. He'll just like rip his clothes off for no reason, just to exert.
From the 10 head from SVU?
Yes.
God, he's amazing.
I'm calling the police on Sarah.
No, bitch, let me go. Let me go.
Okay.
Were those your lines?
No.
Yeah, when she was on SVU.
No.
No, she worked in a rage room.
I worked in a rage room.
On SVU. Anyway. Sarah.
I'm sorry.
Sarah.
Yes.
We've reached our lightning round.
Oh, shit.
I made 22 sounds for you, and those are the only ones you use.
No, but you, yeah, damn. But I don't have them on my phone. We got to talk about that.
Okay.
We want to hear from the people. If you want to hear new sounds, new sounds.
DJ. I mean, yeah, you do only use those.
Those are the best
four buttons.
Cause those are like the easy accessible ones. Is this Hate on Millie Hour or is this All Dick is Short?
Don't just leave it out like that, all unlocked and within arm's reach. Oh, I should Purell.
Yeah. Oh my God, I just.
Don't trust her.
I'm just okay.
Okay, lightning round.
Lightning
round.
Here we go. Sarah. So basically, I'm gonna give you a list of things,
mm-hmm.
and then you just go through, say if they're trash or not. And yeah, and then later, you know, if you have any like clarifications, you can bring you up. But really quick, we're gonna do our lightning round. Okay, Sarah. Vince McMahon.
Trash.
Burpees.
Not trash.
Designated driver.
Not trash.
Bike riding in Manhattan.
Treasure.
That's not an option. Yerba mate tea.
Whatever.
No, okay. You're not. You
trash,
guys,
it's trash
or not.
It's trash. Mate is trash. Mate is trash.
Soul Cycle.
Not trash.
Class pass.
Trash.
Washing your hands.
Not trash. What is this?
What is this?
Of course that's not. I can't say that right now. Coronavirus and such.
Can you have something to say?
Yeah. Wait. Why is class pass trash?
I don't think it's beneficial for gyms in the long run. Mm. I think it takes advantage of gyms, small businesses, and I know that it was not beneficial for the last gym that I worked for. It's not really beneficial for the gym I currently work for either, but Session is blessed with the problem of too many people wanting to enroll in membership. So ClassPass just kind of get the boot a little bit because members have up to 2 weeks to book for classes. But class passers have less time, I guess.
Yeah, and it's like super expensive. I feel like it's good for like getting people in your gym.
Oh, honestly.
And like promoting
it. Sure. Like if it helps somebody find like a girl who's a
client and also a friend of mine, she just jumped from ClassPass to membership at the gym, but she wouldn't have found it if it weren't for ClassPass.
Yeah, so I think that that's a lot of people like that.
Yeah, but there are also like a lot of non-committal people, and I'm also like a lot of people come into our gym from ClassPass and they like act like they don't have to talk to anybody or be nice.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's like ClassPass because you go in and out of the gym like with that.
I know, but it's just like, yo, if you don't want to work out with people, go to fucking Crunch. You know what I mean? Like, go work out by yourself. Don't act like we're not here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is that is specifically like, you know, a gym problem. Like,
yeah.
Because on the other hand, like, I do ClassPass so I can like have a class and leave, not like fraternize and all that stuff.
Well,
so,
sure, yeah. But like to even just like, I don't know, like not take cues or not acknowledge the trainers like in the midst of the workout and stuff. It's just like, man, just be nice. Just be nice. Mm. You know,
a lot of third party integrations that have anything to do with like small businesses.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like half of like our big app. Like half the big app things are like all third party into things like that used to be direct to consumer. Mm-hmm. It's just adding a third party and having them benefit from it. But at the same time, as a ClassPass user, it's been great for me to like try new things, things that I wouldn't try before. And, you know, having a varied workout or having like various studios. So
you're an exception to the rule.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, we're wrapping up, but we want to wrap up with
that's it for the lightning round.
That's it for the lightning round. What do you have any lightning round for us? Sounds like you
Let me see. Death, trash or not trash?
Not trash.
Not trash. Like for the living trash, for the not living. Not trash.
No, you gotta say one.
Trash.
There are no caveats with trash. Lightning round.
You're like whatever, kind of precious.
Single-sided weighted rose.
What?
Rose, like with a weight.
Using dumbbells. Like not trash.
How about kettlebells?
Not trash.
Trash. free weights are crazy.
Who's hot right now?
Trash.
Okay.
Trash is hot right now.
Kobe Bryant.
Aww. And it's been
thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on the podcast. So let's do a wholesome wrap up, please. Tell us about one fond happy memory that you've had that will restore your faith in humanity.
In all of humanity or men specifically?
Humanity. I don't care about men.
Okay. Well,
unless you want to fuck me and you're listening to this. I love you.
Oh gosh. What? There was this time. This is specific to substance abuse and recovery, but I think it's also kind of like darkly funny. But anyways, I was on the J train. This was a while ago, I guess. I had a buzz cut, so it was a while ago. Yeah. But like, I was on the J train and, you know, a drunk guy kind of stumbles on and is like yelling and like making a scene, whatever. Drunk, homeless hobo guy. Right. So like kind of just like being a general nuisance and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm sober and I once drank heavily, right? So I empathize with people like this. Mm-hmm. You know, not that I ever got to that level, but whatever. So I'm kind of like, you know, looking at him and trying to like be empathetic for him, and of course he like locks eyes with me immediately and kind of like hones in on me. Oh, you know. Sir. And I know, and I was like, oh no. And you know, he was like going on about some shit, and I was like, you know, you don't have to drink anymore, you know, you don't have to do that. And he was like, I know, but I can't, you know. And then he like really, we had like this moment where he was like really earnestly trying to tell me like how much of a problem he had. And this guy next to me starts screaming at him. He's like, what the fuck, man? Stop touching me. I was like, he's freaking the fuck out. And this guy's like, hey, man, whatever. And I was just like, no, you know, and I was like trying to kind of like suss it all out and whatever. And the guy next to him, like, and then like this guy starts talking about his alcohol problem. And the guy next to him who was yelling at him, like, kind of gets this look on his face. And then he like rummages around in his bag. And then he like holds up like the Alcoholics Anonymous book. And like tries to hand it to this guy. He's like, here, take this. And he was like, nah, man, I don't want that shit. I don't go to meetings, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God. Like, the guy who was freaking out so hard on this train was the one who, you know, supposedly has the most serenity. But I mean, that was something that we had. I think I know that guy now. I think I actually know who he is, but through recovery. But yeah, I don't know. It was just like this funny little moment where like this dude, like, was able to like slow down and pause and try to like help somebody in spite of his like shitty reaction to the whole thing.
Everything was humanized again. That's actually really great.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I feel like you only get that shit in New York City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
What? You're like,
well,
okay.
I'm so glad that you had fun on the podcast. Is that it? Are we done here yet?
No, you were like, okay. You're like, okay.
No, okay. No, because I got, yeah.
That was super vulnerable and beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
I really enjoyed this. I thought, you know, I feel like we always have a nice heartfelt conversation.
Okay, can't delete that.
peppered with barbs and insults.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you so much, Sarah Boatwright. You can follow her on Instagram at Sarah Boatwright. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, stay classy. Go check out one of her classes at Sessions.
And her podcast.
And her and Sarah doesn't have a podcast.
I don't have a podcast.
Oh, you're on a podcast.
I'm on this podcast.
Check out this podcast.
Or on this other podcast.
Listen to this podcast. If you want to hear more about Sarah, rewind. Thank you for listening to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The All Dick is Trash podcast is produced by Candy Harrell, and we are part of the More Banana Podcast Network. Our founder and managing producer is Kate Moldenhauer. If you would like to share an anonymous confession, email trashdickconfession@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ADIT Podcast. And of course, you can always follow me, your host, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter at Millie Tamaris. Stay classy, y'all.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.